Chicago TARDIS, and we got a chance. Hey, look, it's Nick. Nick, the house manager. Nick Seidler is here to tell us all about the gaming room. Are you excited yet?
I'm always excited. This is a wonderful event, and the game room's full. And people are having a good time.
We're having a great time. Are you having a good time, Nick?
I'm actually having a blast, actually. So thanks for inviting me to be on your podcast. What would you guys like to know about?
Are you going to also be up at GaryCon at all? Up in Lake Geneva?
Yes. So I have gone to GaryCon, and I run Doctor Who there every year as a role-playing game, usually on Sunday. And I will absolutely be at GaryCon. I don't usually bring my other games to GaryCon, so a lot of these just because Doctor Who convention. There's a lot of people who like Doctor Who at GaryCon. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends are there. I know most of the other designers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I will absolutely be there.
Okay.
So, and I know that the Doctor Who game that I'm running is Sunday morning if people are interested in it. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
We went last year.
Oh, great.
And that was our first time. We actually just, by chance, were reading a book.
Uh-huh.
And we found I had a Chicago connection because he was born in near.
Absolutely.
Then there was a Lake Geneva connection.
Absolutely, right? Yep.
And we were like, well, there's got to be a convention. It was like the following week. We were like, yeah!
Yeah, we're going, right?
So we went and interviewed Luke.
Okay.
And talked all about GaryCon and what joy is that convention. And compared to this convention, there's a lot of joy around what we do here.
Absolutely.
And there's so much joy around the gaming community.
Absolutely. And I have to recommend to gamers, especially if you're somebody who loves the original D&D, or if you want to have a chance to meet some of the designers, GaryCon is one of the great conventions to go to. And I'll even tell you a quick story. The very first role-playing game that I ever played was Top Secret. And what I loved about GaryCon was that Merle Rasmussen, who was the designer for Top Secret, was there. And when you sign up, you know, you get a couple gold, you know, chits, and you get a couple silver chits. And I was like, the one game that I would love to play with is Top Secret, because it was my first role-playing game. I never thought in my life I'd ever have a chance to meet the designer. You know, so by going to GaryCon, I signed up, I got into the Top Secret game. You know, I had the opportunity to game with Merle Rasmussen, who invented the game. You know, and it's interesting because then you're like, oh, now I get the style of, like, what you were going for. Me and my friends played really close to that, but, like, of course, a little different. Every role-playing game is different. You know, every campaign is. But it was a highlight moment for me. And then after the game, we were sitting in the lobby, and Merle just happened to be sitting there. It's the kind of convention where you can just see someone in the lobby, and I ask him, like, hey, would you mind if I just sat down? And I sat with him, and we had a chat, and so for, like, the next 2.5 hours, we had this amazing, like, literal fireside chat about Top Secret. I asked him every question. Hey, when you invented the module Sprechenhaltestelle, what were those your ideas? Oh, yeah, I wrote that. Like, and it turns out, and I didn't know this, right, because when you're young, I think I started playing when I was 14, but he had gotten hired very young at like 21 at TSR. So our age difference is actually very small, but like there's a huge difference between me 14 and 21, right?
Sure.
But now that we were both older, like, you know, he's a contemporary and I have the highest respect for him. And like you said, you guys interviewed like Luke or even Ernest Gygax Jr. You know, Ernie is there. And like, what a great convention to bump into some of like those guys. Like,
well, in fact, your time working on Top Secret, playing this game, how did that influence your decision to design games?
I took a journey in which I fell in love with gaming, period. Like, I love all games, right? And especially role-playing games. Those are the ones that I find the most engaging, the most interacting. What you can't find in, like, a video game is, you know, a video game, just by nature of how much you have to program it, gives you limitations. But a role-playing game, as long as you're sitting across from a good game master, the limitations are limitless, right? There are no limitations, right? You, as long as your imagination has it, your character gets the right roles, you might be able to do something, right? So that was engaging to me. And then because of that, I was like, oh, hey, there was a very DIY sense of game design in the very early 80s, and which I still recommend to everyone. Anybody can create a game, okay? If you have an idea, make it, create it, and do it. And to me, I started game mastering, I realized I could do it. I got a little bit better after some practice, right? And then I was like, oh, and other games came out, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I can do this. And so, like, what we did here at Chicago TARDIS, we have about 15 original games, all which are Doctor Who, okay? These are fan-made games, so we're not, like, ripping off the BBC or anything like that. You know, this is these are games made out of the love of the program. And most of the staff will help me design them. So sometimes I'll, like, come up with a game mechanic. And I'm fortunate because I work at a university. So some of the students at the university who are in the game and science fiction club will come and, like, kind of help play test the games. They'll give suggestions for how to improve them. And in some cases, they'll actually make them themselves. And it's inspired them to invent and create games. So I think that's, like, perfect.
Mm-hmm. So one of the games that you put together is the Rory Adventure Game, a game that takes 1, 2, 3, 4 tables. This is a long, long-term game. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Okay, so in the case of the Rory Adventure Game, we were just talking about this a little while ago, and Rory is a character who's kind of a side character in Doctor Who, and somebody who, as you watch the program with the 11th Doctor, you just learn to love the character, right? It's sort of kind of like the outsider, you know, you think it's Amy's story, and all of a sudden Rory becomes a big part of it.
Right.
Well, as we got to the end of Rory's arc, you know, and he encounters the Weeping Angels, I guess, for the last time, we kind of realized the story had come to an end, and we were like, oh, we should make a game about Rory's, you know, timeline, really. So it's like, really, the Rory Adventure Game follows Rory's timeline. People don't realize how amazing and back and forth Rory's timeline is. So literally, as we plotted it out using 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper, it ended up being 26 pages wide, okay? And so, which is why it spans, like, you know, 4 tables. And then we go back and forth on his timeline. And as we designed the game, we discovered that Rory actually is in the same place or alive at the same time on Earth. In some cases, there's 3 Rorys on Earth at the same time, just because, you know, he was
timey-wimey,
right? He was guarding the Pandorica through the 1930s. He went back in time to kill Hitler in the 1930s, right? And then there was another Rory who just happened to be around, like, and maybe if it wasn't the 1930s, it might be another time. For us, it was fun to design a game where you just go back and forth. And we have some fun mechanics in there where if you roll, like, doubles, you draw one kind of card. If you roll a 7, you draw another card. If you land on another player, you have to make a choice. Send them back or move you forward, right? So there's some strategy involved, which is kind of fun. And we just thought it was great. I'll say this. The games that we designed here at the Chicago TARDIS Game Room are all original. Like, we try to run all original games. We, of course, have the commercial Doctor Who games here, you know, to promote the show and obviously to sell those. But the games that we have, you know, we're going to be giving away for free because, right, again, like, this is a labor of love by fans. The Doctor Who Earthbound Time Lords website, which is the first half of this. You guys can come up with that. But it'll,
we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fanzine, the Diary of Doctor Who Role-Playing Games, often called DDWRPG. And in our upcoming issue, which will be issue 22... that issue will have probably like 10 to 15 original Doctor Who games that people can then print out and play. Just like if you would have had the old Doctor Who annuals that had like a game in them that you could play, these will be things that you can print out and have them at home and stuff like that. So including the Rory Adventure Game, which will fit on, you know, 4 tables, or I recommend printing it out and hanging it on a long hallway in your house, you know, and playing it that way. It's kind of a fun thing that you can do.
Tell us a little bit about playing a role-playing game.
Sure.
Versus playing a computer game. Why is playing an old-timey one where you're sitting around with people, how is that better or different? Or
sure.
I think the advantage of face-to-face role-playing games is, you know, tabletop role-playing games is being able to be face-to-face, right? So I think, you know, and I'm not immune to this, right? So I have a smartphone, and halfway through the day, I want to be in touch with my friends, so I quickly go and I look through Facebook and I try to connect with them, or I might text some of my friends. And to me, that is not the same. Or even if I decide to play a video game like Legend of Zelda or something like that, I love all of those experiences, but they're not as personal. Okay, and to me, being able to sit across from somebody who I like and care about and coming up with the plots of, like, characters and what happens and literally hearing the cheer of what happens to the characters, right? You get just the right dice roll and everyone at the table, like, laughs or, like, you know, slaps their knee or the table or whatever and have a blast. To me, that's the level of socialization that I think we need. Mm-hmm. And at the university that I work, more and more students, and I'm talking young people, mm-hmm. people in high school, people in college, are coming back to role-playing games, are coming back to board games, because I think they're really loving that personal interaction that maybe they've lost a little bit in the last few years, which is video games. And there's a place for all of those, right? Sure. It's not that one is better than the other, but I have to say, like, role-playing games are the thing I like. Interestingly, here at the convention, we have a number of game masters who run games. Every game this weekend has been full. Every game was slotted for 6 people. They opened it up to 8 people, and every slot has been full with 8 people. So, I wouldn't have expected
that. Isn't that what the convention is for? Aren't we here to interact with each other? Isn't that why we do this every year, is to come and see each other and smile and have that human connection? There's so much community to this convention. There's so much joy to coming here and seeing each other, even if, it's like a big family reunion at this point.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. I love being here with my friends. I have the advantage of working at the convention, but I've made a lot of friends here, and seeing them, it's almost like a family. And after a few years where you go to an event, you see somebody year after year, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad I saw you, But more than that, friends have joined me at the convention and come to it. And so then they've extended their friend groups and their fandom, and I think there's something to celebrate something you love with others.
Yeah.
Whether you're, a Lord of the Rings fan, or whether you love Harry Potter, or if you like Doctor Who, or if you like role-playing games, or you like sports, right? Going to a convention that celebrates the thing that you love and finding like-minded people is just a wonderful experience. I think that's what it's all about, really. So
I absolutely, completely agree with you, and that's why Chip is here today, because I have been coming here for so many years. We went to Visions in 1990, my mother and I, and some of my high school friends, and so I'm all in. Chip is here for the first time. We should have buttons. There should be buttons for first-timers.
Hit my forehead with something.
Right. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for all that you've done to put this together and for this gaming room.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Well, enjoy it, you guys. It's there for everybody to enjoy. Get out there and have fun.
Milwaukee School of Engineering?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. And what do you teach?
I am actually a staff member, so I have taught classes, but I'm basically in charge of, the Student Life Office. So I'm the coordinator of student events in the Student Life Office, and I plan Welcome Week, Orientation, Parents Weekend, and I work with all of the student organizations and clubs. And I'm the advisor to the Gaming and Sci-Fi Club. So,
for young kids starting college, what are the biggest challenges their first year, and how do they mature to their second year at school?
So within our field, there's this developmental theory, so that people at different points in their life need different things. So when you're in high school, you just need to be liked, right? So you just want to be a part of the in crowd. Even the jocks feel like they're outsiders in high school, even though everybody else thinks that they're the ones who are loved, right? You get to college and you suddenly realize that being independent and being the person who you are is what everybody respects, right? So suddenly people like the quirky guy who always wore the cowboy hat, and everybody thought was maybe a little bit odd. That's what makes that guy really cool, or that girl who wore the glasses and who always read fantasy books. Suddenly everybody else is going, well, I love fantasy books. Tell me about it. And that person becomes this totally cool person in college. The advice that I would give to especially a young person who's maybe getting to the university or college is, try everything and get involved and do those things. Make some friends. Join as many clubs as you can. And every parent goes, well, I don't know about that. You need to study. I'm like, well, yeah, you do, but you find your support system through the people you hang out with. So join every club. You're not going to go back to the clubs you don't like. You're only going to stick with the clubs who you connect with and you love those people, right? And so, you might be in 10 clubs in your first week, and then by week 6, you're I'm kind of only really going back to these 3. I'm not going to go to these other ones. I just didn't connect with those people or whatever. And then those 3 clubs are going to be the clubs that you grow with, and you get to meet friends and whatever. But I will say this, right? Most universities present a whole bunch of different activities, Go to those activities. Most of them are free. They're going on right on your campus. Try them. If you've never gone and heard a political speaker, it's college. Go check it out. Maybe this is the thing that you love to do. Maybe you learn something new. Maybe you're the person who's never gone rock climbing in your life because you're always at the game room at Chicago TARDIS. Maybe that was me, right? Go rock climbing. Right, yeah, go hiking, go rock climbing, right? Join the disc golf club. Maybe check out the theater troupe if you've never acted before. You're like, oh, I would like this, right? Join an intramural sports team. Do something fun. Maybe a Greek organization. Maybe you like doing service projects. Try all of those things, right? College is that moment of self-discovery for you. And so I say absolutely go and do that and find the thing you love to do. I love Doctor Who. I really grew into my Doctor Who fandom when I was in college. And it was one of those things that, like, my friends in high school kind of knew I liked Doctor Who. And they're like, oh, you like Doctor Who. And then I got to college and everyone's like, dude, you like Doctor Who too? And suddenly, like, I found my people.
We've talked about this. Uh-huh. Finding your tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
The internet has done that to an extent, but there's nothing like college for that.
Well, when you're young, you only have this, you know, depending on the size of your high school or whatever, you only have this small community. When you go to college, you know, many colleges are far bigger.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their chances of running into people who have those interests that you like, they increase. And then at that point, you move to your job or whatever, and you can find your, you've got skills to find your group.
Right.
So,
And I think finding your group is one of those things that, like, even sometimes adults struggle with in our society. And, like, I always tell people, like, go on the internet and check out meetup groups. If you have an interest field, just go and learn about it. Or as I jokingly say, like, you know, go to the friendly local game store. If you like gaming and you're like, just go there and shop and ask the storekeeper, like, hey, do you guys have like regular games or how do people find out about stuff like that? And I think at a certain level, you know, we've lost our ability to socialize in our society.
Mm-hmm. Humans require interaction. They require being around other people. Even if you are a wallflower and you want to stay on the outside, you, just by your nature, you require being around people. I think as much as we like exercising or we need to eat correctly, or this idea of being around other humans is important to being a healthy a person.
Absolutely.
And so gaming seems like it's something that's very important. This convention is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be anything else you could think of that requires you to be around other people.
Yep, absolutely. I think people do forget that human beings are pack animals as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you need every kind of person in your pack to fulfill it. Like, you know, and so, like, we need everyone. And I think that's a beautiful thing. To me, that's, like, what Doctor Who is about, you know, celebrating everybody, you know, and I appreciate that, like, level of inclusion and that level of diversity and going, hey, man, we need to celebrate all this, you know, so, 'cause, yeah. So.
Awesome.
Wonderful.